You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Tuesday morning. It is November 18th, 2025. Nice to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or catching us by podcast or on social media. Thanks for being here. I've got a question for you. How many apps is too much? At what point have we reached app saturation? We just might be there now with news that another restaurant based in Wisconsin is getting into the app game and the loyalty program. How many loyalty programs are you a member of as well? Remember when they were all little tags on your keychain? You had a little tag for the grocery store, you had a little tag for Blockbuster Video, you might have had a little tag with a little barcode on the back for, you know, your particular gas station. Now it's all about the apps and using the apps because you're going to get a discount that way. Well, now Culver's is coming out and saying they're the ones who are going to be next in the game. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But it led me to ask, you know, can you do another app? And would you... have you had good experiences, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Let me use McDonald's as an example here, and then we'll get the show rolling. McDonald's has had an app for some time, and I love apps, and I don't mind a good loyalty program. I mean, I've got a couple that I'm involved with where I save a lot of money on gas. I save a lot of money on hotel stays. But the McDonald's app has failed me a couple of times, where it didn't take your order, or you got there and the order, you know, wasn't right, or it double charged you or whatever, that I just stopped using it. And I keep getting asked in the drive-thru window, are you going to use your app? No, I've given you, you know, kind of a three strikes and you're out thing. Maybe I'm missing out on some big discounts, but it was a bit of a hassle. What about you? Now that I'm telling you that Culver's is getting into the customer loyalty program and an app, is that it? Is it like streaming services? Have we reached a tipping point? You can only have so many and you've got to let them go? Or are you one of those folks who maybe doesn't have an app at all? Maybe the app game is not something you're willing to play. Cindy's on the line in Appleton, and I think that's the point you're trying to make there, Cindy. Good morning. Am I reading this correctly?
I have zero apps. I don't even have a smartphone. But I'll tell you, though, I'm kind of starting to feel like being discriminated against because a lot of places where you park, you can only use an app now, and I can't park at places because I don't have that kind of a system on my phone, which I think is discriminating because us old people, some of us are still bucking the system.
And here's another way I've seen this happen a lot too, is you go looking for a discount when you go into the store because you've seen it advertised, and then they tell you at the register, no, you only get that discount if you use the app.
So
there, you know, app discrimination is a real problem. It's one thing to incentivize, you know, and try to encourage you to do it, but don't punish you if you don't, right?
Yep, that's how I feel.
Well, it's. I'm so glad you said that, Cindy. Thank you very much for calling in, and you stay app free as long as you need to.
I will. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank
Have
you.
A good day.
Thank you. You too. Have a great day. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Well, look at us. We're off and rolling already. Parker Olson is down in Madison Studio A2, so we'll just turn that question of the day right over to him. How many apps are on your phone right now related to, like, food, for example?
Actually, none, I don't think.
Really?
I try really hard to not spend a lot of money, Pat.
well, that makes sense, yes.
Turns out if you put food apps on your phone, you spend more money. So I think the only rewards I have is at a Wings place that's like two blocks from here.
Oh, so, sure. Yeah. That makes sense. I just looked. I'm just calling it up on my phone now, so I've got the McDonald's app in there. I've got. Then there's the delivery places, DoorDash. You know, there's Open Table for restaurant reservations, but I've got a Starbucks app on there, Panera Bread, Red Robin, yum. Who says advertising doesn't work? So those are the ones that they can see off the top here, and I have not minded using some apps. You know, when it's convenient. It's just that, and again, no disrespect to Culver's. I just saw that. I'm like, oh my gosh, how many more? Tony, of course, says Tony has never enough. And Tony, ever the good soldier, also says on YouTube, download the Civic Media app and listen to Pat Kreitlow on your trip to New Zealand.
This is true. You can do this.
Alicia writes, oh gosh, I can't with rewards, apps, and the emails. She says, I'm running away from an email I had since Gmail began. Oh, we're not even going to get started on Gmail and how many emails. I mean, I have an in-basket, an inbox with tens of thousands of emails in there.
How, Pat?
Simple. I take the ones every so often, the places that I know are important, and I do a Google search, and I just search my mailbox.
Yeah.
And I see nothing from any of those places. And no place that is usually sending me advertisements is going to send me an email that says, hey, I'm on fire. Can you call the fire department, please? I figure it's not a rush. Tony also adds, I hate all the questions at Chipotle, so I'd rather use the app to tell them what I want on my burrito and I don't have to wait in line. That's a good point. Yeah. Roger, I have trouble keeping track of rewards cards myself. Apps for retailing and food would be more daunting. Okay, that's a fair point. But here's the thing about the Chipotle one. That actually is why I have the Panera app. And again, I'm not here to do commercials. But Panera is one of those where it's like, you know, there's that pick two. You could get this and you could get that. And then you could this and you could get the chips or you could get the apple. And if I know in advance that I'm coming through, that I can hit the drive-through, then the app can be a convenient way. And Panera has never double-charged me or anything like that. So I think apps have their place, but Cindy is spot on. Don't discriminate against everybody else just to encourage people to use your app.
Yeah.
Because now you're telling me you just want the robots. And don't get me started on the robot cashiers at McDonald's.
Oh, God.
There's a human standing right there. Yeah. And I'd say 60% of the time, they'll be like, can I help you? But about 40% of the time, they're like, over there. Use your finger and put it on the keyboard. Which, again, I don't mind doing, but stop trying to make it sound like we're not going to have any human contact in the future here. I want to be able to order things through a human being.
I appreciate not needing to go to a person sometimes.
Yes.
However, it's usually better with the person.
Yes.
I'm very proud of
myself when I can use an app properly. I just don't want it to be that all the time. I don't know how we got started on basically a Seinfeld episode here for starting off the show. It was just a very simple question of the day saying Culver's is adding an app and, you know, at what point are there too many apps? But we're already off to the races on apps and robots and everything else. So
it's turned a little old man screams at cloud. That's okay.
A little bit.
Thundercloud, though. This is one worth screaming at, I think.
Yes. Yeah. I hate it when you take away all the human contact.
Yeah.
I am a 30-year customer of what is now Spectrum. It was Charter. Yes. It was Time Warner for a while. And the same goes for Waste Management. 30-year customer, 30 years in this house. And yet for those national behemoths, there's times when you call in and you may as well be a leper begging on the streets of Calcutta the way they treat you. That's wrong. Spectrum, to their credit, has had an office in Altoona, now in Eau Claire, for all these years. You can go in and actually talk to a human, but sometimes you just want a quick answer to something.
Yeah.
And you pick up your phone and you call 1-800-GOOD-LUCK and you're on hold for the better part of a week, you know?
I mean, the problem with like big things like Spectrum is that there's a fair chance that you're not going to get a person who knows what you need because they have so many different things that they have to reroute you 100 times and turns out you've been on hold for longer than you've been listening to this radio show.
Oh, much longer.
It's not fun. It's not fun, Pat.
It's not fun, and the hold systems themselves. Oh, you're real air going Seinfeld here. Let's talk about those hold systems for a moment. You know, every so often, somebody actually puts some thought into the music or the messages that are on hold. But by and large, it's basically like somebody grabbed their great-grandfather's crystal radio set from 1936, and it's just all static and noise, and then occasionally a, while you're holding, why don't you download our app? Really? Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're off and running today here. Let's see.
This segment has been sponsored by the App Store.
Tony says, as an introvert who's adept at technology, I appreciate not having to interact with people at any point to do most things. And I, again, I will say that that definitely has its place, that I can do that and I don't have to explain. Or electronic payments. Do you know what it feels like to be charged $11 for something, as we were at a drive-thru window recently?
Yeah.
And instead of handing them a 20, you hand them 21. And their minds are blown. They just kind of give a look and you just go, just give me a $10 bill back. I don't want nine ones. I don't want nine singles. I don't want a five and four singles. I'm giving you 21 because I want a $10 bill back. You can do it. You can do it. Just reach in. Just reach in.
That's a lot of math. That's a lot of math.
Sometimes. I'll never forget the first time that electronic cash registers were still relatively new. We're doing Christmas shopping in the mall, and the computerized cash registers went down, and this poor young clerk had to calculate what was then 4.5% sales tax. You'd have thought this was a PhD exam that was coming in. Like, oh, no. So, again, apps have their place. Electronic payments have their place. But you gotta leave room for some of the old-fashioned stuff, people and customer service skills and math. There should be room for all of that in our lives. It's 6:18 right now in sports. We got some not-so-good news for the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo went down with a left groin strain, and as Doc Rivers said, it doesn't look good. He may be out for some time here. So,
yeah.
Temper those expectations, Bucks fans. Although, again, when do you want this to happen? Early in the season.
You know what I learned last night?
What?
LeBron hasn't played yet this year.
No, he has not. He has not played yet. But they got Luka Doncic from... Yes. Dallas,
yeah,
in the dumbest trade in the world.
Yeah, he got traded for a bag of chips. Yeah,
and that general manager in Dallas finally got fired. It took like a year or more or something like that. Anyway, yeah, no LeBron and the Lakers are still doing fine. The Bucks will be okay. You know, they're not a terrible team without Giannis.
No.
But the Bucks did lose in Cleveland last night, 118-106. And they will next play on Thursday at home against the Philadelphia 76ers. And Roger's right, injuries. It does sometimes just seem to tick away. The Badger men's basketball team defeated Southern Illinois Edwardsville 94-69. That's the final game of a four-game homestand to start the season. They will next play Friday afternoon in Salt Lake City against BYU. And then they have a Thanksgiving Day tournament where they're playing in San Diego. So truly getting underway with the college men's basketball season. All right, we take kind of a serious turn next. We're going to talk a bit about this vote happening in the House today on the Epstein files and what your Wisconsin congressional representative needs to know, Democratic or Republican. Here's what they need to know about today's vote. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We will get to Melissa and our climate check in just a sec. First, yes, all of Wisconsin's Republicans flip-flopped yesterday and voted on a measure that should lead to the release of more of the Epstein files. But in the meantime, some 20,000 files, mostly emails from the Epstein estate, have already been released. How do you go through all those? Well, Cam Stevenson at Courier Newsroom figured out a way, and he has created a searchable database with all of the 20,000 Epstein files released so far. You can put in various keywords and see what comes up. Head to couriernewsroom.com to learn more. All right, let's do our climate check with Melissa Baldoff. Let's start with the question of the day, since it's getting such a nice response here, Melissa. Good morning. You doing well?
I am. Thank you. Yes.
All right. Well, let's start with that, because you're in the Milwaukee area as well. And I'd love to know, because I'm sure you've had your share of first-time visitors. Where do you take them?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So when I've had first-time visitors, which largely has been my friends and family from Florida, when they get here, I'm usually just so excited to see them. So it's like, we're going to do something in Milwaukee, even though I do like taking people to other parts of the state and letting them see how beautiful it is, you know, taking them up in your neck of the woods, taking them to, you know, Door County, to Minocqua, taking them to, you know, Devil's Lake, right? Any of our beautiful outdoor spaces. But generally speaking, what we're going to do is we're going to go get cheese curds and an old fashioned. So for me in the Milwaukee area, I think Lakefront Brewery has the best curds. So oftentimes that's where we're headed right out of the gate, is we're heading to get some cheese curds and a good beer or an old fashioned.
Yeah, that's a perfect answer. That's a perfectly Wisconsin answer. So I'm glad to hear that. As we're looking at climate issues, we actually have a couple of positive stories to share, but we got to get, you know, through. We have to slog through some stuff to get there. And that would be, in this case, the Trump administration is going to push to weaken protections for wetlands and make it tougher for the Environmental Protection Agency to enforce the Clean Water Act. And Melissa, I feel like we went through this with the legislature years and years ago, when they wanted to basically allow all kinds of development on wetlands. And we have to explain to people that wetlands, you think of, oh, it's just a swamp. Wetlands are so much more valuable than a lot of people understand.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is something, it's one of the many false choices that the Trump administration likes to set up, right? That we can't be pro-economy, pro-development, and pro-environment. And we know that we in fact can and have to. So this is something that, you know, we saw, you know, in 2023, the Supreme Court set the stage for this decision and you know, really limited the, you know, definition of what a wetland is and made it to where it's going to make it a lot more difficult to have any kind of meaningful protections for the wetlands across the country. And this is something that is a problem for our farmers, for our communities, for everybody in Wisconsin, really, to lose these protections for waters that, you know, keep us safer from floods, help our drinking water stay clean, and, you know, provide habitat for the environment. So it's really it's really unfortunate that this is happening. It's not surprising, but this is really another bad decision.
Yeah, and I'm sure people go, well, wetlands, what does that have to do with drinking water? But again, these are the sources for a lot of our rivers and lakes and other bodies of water. So if you're polluting the wetland, you're putting in danger, you know, the very source of a lot of our drinking water that we use. Melissa Baldoff is here to talk about the climate for this week. And there was some positive news about how there will now be even more EV charging stations across the state. And that was, again, it took a court case up against the Trump administration to do it. But what's going to be the net effect, Melissa?
Yeah, the net effect is that Wisconsin is going to be awarding $14 million in EV charging grants around the state. So like you said, this is something where, you know, had to get in a legal fight with the Trump administration. And very happy that Governor Evers and Attorney General Call are always ready to, you know, take the fight right to Trump, not afraid of him and not afraid to really do battle. So this means that we're going to get some support to expand the EV charging network across the state. This is something that we know is really being driven by consumers, by the industry, which is something that Republicans always claim that they want to see. But we know that there's a demand. More and more people are driving electric vehicles. It is an issue for tourism. It's an issue for development to have access to a really, well-connected and broad charging network. So this is about meeting our transportation needs. And this is, I think, a really exciting development.
It's good for the economy as well that folks know from out of state they can drive their EVs here and still be able to charge them up. Got less than a minute here, but I did want to shout out as well to Wisconsin Rapids. The Water Works and Lighting Commission is working with Great Lakes Utilities and One Energy Renewables to develop a 5-megawatt project. And it's just that local diversity of energy sources. That's a net positive, Melissa.
It absolutely is. This is a way to, get more power and do it fast. Solar is cheap. It's quick to deploy. And it's good for the environment. It's good for ratepayers because it's going to help keep costs down. And, everybody's feeling pinched. Everybody's feeling the pain because of Donald Trump's disastrous handling of the economy. Everything's more expensive. And this is a way to get those utility bills a little bit lower.
And that's what we've said all the time is we don't have to just wait for national leadership. We can lead at the local level as well. Melissa Baldoff with our climate check. Great to check in. Thank you so much. Have a great day. All right, when we come back, we will have our question of the day and take more of your phone calls and texts about where you would take a first-time visitor to the state of Wisconsin. I'm Pat Breitlow here up north. Have tried to do a little one-stop shopping when it comes to this program and the newsletters and the news stories that I write and the podcast links, and you can find it all at upnorthnewswi.com/mornings. upnorthnewswi.com/mornings, where you can learn more about this radio show, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, our weekend newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Also links to the stories that I write for the website and ways to either watch this radio show or subscribe to it as a podcast. Again, get it all at upnorthnewswi.com/mornings. Welcome to our homeroom segment at 7:36 now. In our homeroom segment, we talk about public education, some of the opportunities, the strengths, the perils and pitfalls, and the threats to it. And a lot of the discussions that we have about education in Wisconsin come back to one central mystery. How do you pay for it all? And, different states wrestle with it in different ways. Wisconsin seems to have wrestled with it more than any other. And once upon a time, not that long ago, some folks said, why don't we get people in a room in a bipartisan manner and come up with some ideas, some ways to fix this? And they did. There was a Blue Ribbon Commission on School Funding, and I still hear to this day people saying, well, we should put this in or put that in, and it hasn't. And so we thought we'd talk to a couple of members from that commission and ask, where do we go from here? Can we still implement some of the things that they did back in 2017, 2018? Two of those members include Julie Underwood, who's the former dean of the UW-Madison School of Education, and Sandy Pope, who is a former state assembly representative, and they join us now this morning. Julie and Sandy, good morning. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Good morning.
Nice to have you both here. Sandy, take it from a legislative standpoint. Tell me about the time you knew that some kind of a commission was going to be formed. Were you asked to be part of it? Were you part of the asking other people to make up this commission? How did it all get started?
Well, I'll start by telling you, before I went to the legislature in 1998, I was interested in school funding, and there were seven such task forces, committees, commissions, whatever, addressing the problem of school funding, and almost nothing had been implemented. They were all sitting on bookshelves with dust on them. Speaker Voss put this one together, and I think it was done because of so much pressure from citizens about struggling schools and mm-hmm. feeling that it was absolutely imperative that the problem be addressed. So this commission was put together. I don't know how bipartisan it was, but that may have been part of the problem. Anyway, I don't think we did a whole lot of anything except create another report to sit on a shelf, it appears.
Well, it certainly does based on the record since then. But, you know, there was so much that was said at the time about, for example, Republican Senator Luther Olson. His name always came up when you talked about education and funding, and he, you know, served on this as well, as did Joel Kitchens from the State Assembly, Republican from the Sturgeon Bay area. And then you had, other members on there as well. And yet, again, despite that, it sits on a shelf. Julie, talk about your experience being on the commission and what it feels like to have what you've proposed still sitting out there.
Well, I know lots of times reports just sit on the shelf. And for this one, I was actually really, really optimistic because Joel Kitchens and Luther Olson were chairing it. And they were actually, they said it was bipartisan. They put Sandy on it. They put me on it. And we don't share their political views very often. So I was really, really hopeful. And we had hearings all across the state and we had some great recommendations. The problem is we're still talking about them. They haven't implemented them. They haven't written bills. They assigned, Joel Kitchens assigned legislators, Republican legislators, because they were in the majority, still are, and nothing, crickets.
Yeah. And one of those members, Howard Markline, is, a co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. He's still very active and still could be part of this and hasn't for, whatever reasons. So, Sandy, let's look at some of the things that were put out there. Obviously, you would have loved to have seen all the recommendations implemented. But if you could pick one or maybe two things that were so key to reforming school funding that you guys discussed, and you could wave that magic wand tomorrow, Sandy, what would it be?
I would start with addressing the issue with special education funding and two-thirds funding. If those seem to be foundational to me, I don't know that we've actually addressed those issues adequately, but they seem to be foundational.
They do. And for folks that have heard us talk about it before, special education costs, much more than traditional classroom instruction. And so the state had originally picked up a large percentage of special education costs, reimbursed local school districts. But that percentage fell and fell and fell. And only in this last state budget was it supposed to be brought back up. But there was a note that just came out yesterday from DPI. Looking at the new rate, it was supposed to reach 42% reimbursement this year. And yet this year, it is still like around 35%. But by the way, parenthetically, voucher schools get a 90% reimbursement rate. So, Sandy, we've got a ways to go to fix just special education funding.
Well, you know, Pat, when this commission came together, before we ever met the first time, we were fighting over whose schools are we talking about, voucher schools or public schools? Because there was a lot of voucher school representation on this committee, commission. And I think the conflict of interest was very bothersome to me that the voucher schools had such heavy representation. And I felt like public schools needed to be addressed first and foremost.
Well, that's ideally what it was there to serve as. Julie, when we talk about two-thirds funding, we talk about the state share picking up two-thirds of the tab of what it costs to educate our children before you go looking at local property taxes and other sources like that. And it was there once upon a time, and we have definitely gotten away from it. Do you still see that as key to reforming school funding and not having so many school referendums out there that are raising local property taxes?
Absolutely. You know, I've been doing some reading into Wisconsin's constitution and the education clause, Article 10, Section 3. And even in the creation of the Wisconsin constitution, those who were putting it together We're talking about what that balance should be between state funding and local funding for schools. And in the record, they reached a resolution that the state should pay twice as much as the local. Twice as much as the local, that puts you back to two-thirds funding. So they were talking about that, you know, in the 1840s. We had two-thirds funding theoretically at one point, but not so now. And also, it should be at least two-thirds funding because the legislature is the one who is responsible, according to the Wisconsin Constitution, for creating and funding public schools.
Exactly. That's Julie Underwood, former dean of the UW School of Education. And we're also talking to Sondi Pope, a former state legislator. And Julie, I'd ask Sondi what recommendations stuck out from her from the old 2017 Blue Ribbon Commission. She mentioned the two-thirds funding. She mentioned special education. Let me hand the magic wand over to you. And were there other recommendations in there that, you know, you would have implemented by now if you had had the power, Julie?
So many. Certainly two-thirds funding is an important one. And another one is something that we used to have as well. You know, they created these revenue limits. And at first they had an inflation escalator on it. So it went up automatically based on inflation. And we lost that in the early 2000s. And we're way behind in terms of inflationary increases. I think we're nearly $4,000 per pupil behind where we were in 2010 had we had an inflationary increase. So that's one of them. Plus, Sondi mentioned special education reimbursement, but there are also other children who have really high needs, high cost needs, children who live in poverty, children whose home language is not English, gifted and talented children, children with mental health needs. And the state doesn't have a sufficient mechanism to put money into the districts to take care of these children's needs.
So, Sondi, what's the path forward? And, both of us being former Democratic legislators, it's easy to say, let's just change the makeup of the legislature in 2026. That certainly would be one thing. But if you had to work in the here and now and work at putting some of these recommendations into play, is there a way to start? Is it just continuing? I mean, we've seen all the pressure that people tried to put on the Joint Finance Committee and budget cycle after budget cycle after budget cycle, and it just doesn't appear to go anywhere. So is there a path forward with the recommendations of this Blue Ribbon Commission, or is it pretty much entirely dependent on the partisan makeup of the legislature? Hope you have to take yourself off mute there, Sondi. There you go. Did I mute you? No, you've got to unmute yourself there. There you go. Try that.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's all right.
When I talk to people outside of the Capitol, I always say that the answer to this problem lies in the ballot box. Figure out who you are voting for and what they represent to your interests. And that's a difficult thing to do. There's a lot of detail in the school funding situation and how it's resolved and who's important to fixing it. But that would be, I think, the starting point, because it doesn't seem like this legislature imbalance is ever going to get to the answers. It just hasn't been working. And then I want to make a shameless plug for the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Its tentacles are everywhere in the state of Wisconsin. They have huge influence among citizens who are paying attention. But I also think sometimes people get interested in school funding when they have children in school. As their children age out, they sort of lose interest and they care as taxpayers, but they don't care as much as parents of kids in school. So I want to give a big plug to Wisconsin Public Education Network for educating people all over the state of Wisconsin and working tirelessly to hold legislators' feet to the fire during campaign season and budget hearings and things like that.
They are doing so much to bring transparency and accountability. And you can learn more at wisconsinnetwork.org, as we say week after week here. Julie Underwood, I've got a minute left, so a short answer. But if somebody has a Republican legislator, they bump into them at a coffee shop, and you can say one thing to that Republican legislator that you hope maybe moves them a little bit. What's that one thing you hope people would say to their Republican lawmaker?
That our state has to have an educated citizenry. And the only way to do it is the legislative will to fund public schools.
That's it. It really comes down to the will to do that, to serve our public schools. And again, the people who started the state of Wisconsin understood this and put it in the initial state constitution. A blue ribbon commission followed through with it, and its recommendations are still out there. Members included Julie Underwood, former dean of the UW School of Education, and former Wisconsin legislator Sandy Pope. It is so great to get to talk to both of you ladies. Thank you so much for coming in this morning and giving us some background.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Be well.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day. All right. Still ahead, we've got our 8 o'clock hour where we will talk to Melissa Baldoff with our climate check and Earl Ingram from the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. You can learn more about that at civicmedia.us. You can learn a lot about the network at civicmedia.us. Sign up there. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's a Monday morning. It is just about 6:23. I'm Pat Kreitlow up here in Chippewa Falls, Parker Olson down in Madison. Nice to have you here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can follow me throughout the course of the day with my team at Up North News at upnorthnewswi.com. And, of course, we also have on the website, you can look right at the front page there and see what we're up to. But if you want just to focus on the morning show here, go to upnorthnewswi.com/mornings, upnorthnewswi.com/mornings. You can sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter. You can see the website articles that I'm working on. You can get links to follow the show as a podcast on Spotify or watch us on YouTube, all at upnorthnewswi.com/mornings. Tomorrow on the program, we will have Hans Breitenmoser. He's a dairy farmer from up near Merrill. We'll have Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom reporting live from the nation's capital, and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will join us to talk a little Wisconsin politics as well. As I mentioned in our Sunday newsletter, our question of the day is, do you have a close friend who is your political opposite? We're going to take a bunch of phone calls on that, I hope, around 7:35. So I want to give you ample room right now. And in fact, I think some folks are already leaving voice notes on this. So let's give a listen to one that was that has already come in off the Civic Media app.
After the disastrous Zelensky meeting this spring, I confronted my mom and I confronted my uncle, who are both big Trumpers. My mom was more willing to have a conversation. My uncle, who's basically like my dad, by the end of the conversation said, well, I can tell this is really upsetting for you, but at the end of the day, most of the things that happen at the federal level, they're not going to affect you that much. So I wouldn't stress about it too much.
That raises a very interesting point. And thank you. I appreciate that you called in and left a voice note. And I encourage everybody else to use that Civic Media app to do so. And it's a tough thing because on the one hand, yes, so much of what happens at the federal level does not impact us right away. But it can. But it also sets the tone for our values. Blowing up boats in the Caribbean isn't going to change anything that happens in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin today. But is that really what we want from a president and from a military that can do things like, again, have masked secret police on the streets, can cut off benefits to struggling families, and yet import beef from Argentina and give Argentina $40 billion. All these things happen on the federal level. They don't affect us right away, but they're still important enough. The question becomes, what does that do to your discussions with your friends? And that's part of our question of the day here today that we're talking about. Speaking of beef from Argentina. You know, when we talk about caravans, when we hear Trump and others talk about caravans coming from Mexico, the caravans are coming from Central America, the caravans are coming to the border. Did you know that in those caravans are cows? Because that's what Donald Trump's Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said in an interview over the weekend. Let's give a listen.
The beef market is a very specialized market. It goes in long cycles, and this is the perfect storm. Again, something we inherited, and there's also, because of the mass immigration, a disease that had been we've been rid of in North America, made its way up through South America. You know, as these migrants, they have brought some of their cattle with them.
Parker, did you know that along with, as they're scaling the wall, that the cows are able to jump over the wall? Or they're going through the tunnel? I mean, sometimes you might think, am I hearing something? And you're hearing your... Never occurred to you that it might be coming from underground.
I'm envisioning the Mighty Python and the Holy Grail when they're charging the castle and they're throwing cows and chickens and
That's right.
geese out over the wall.
Ooh, a Monty Python reference out of you. That's fabulous. Cassandra, OMG, Bessent, facepalm. Yeah, I don't know what else to tell you on that, except that it just sometimes it feels like the folks in the MAGA world are playing a game with us. I feel like we're being punked, that they sit around and they try to see how far they can go to make some Americans believe their wild excuses and their accusations to justify all the things they do. And the latest one has got to be, as Edith put it, you know, the cow jumped over the moon. She puts that on Facebook. Hey, if it can jump over the moon, they can jump over a border fence. It's a southern invasion of cattle, you know? I know, Tony, I was just a surprise to see Monty Python reference from Parker, but yeah, there it is, believe it or not. All right, well, now that we've got you up to speed on what is happening with the American beef market in the here and now, and then we'll hear more in the Midwest Farm Report coming up less than 2 minutes away, but we already told you about the Packers beating the Giants 27-20. They'll host the Vikings next Sunday at noon. The Badgers football team did not look terrible at first. Parker thinks I might have couched that a little bit too much. I mean, the first quarter,
yeah,
you know, was
no, you're
respectable.
Right.
And then Indiana was like, oh, wait, we should get started, shouldn't we? And they ended up just spanking Wisconsin 31-7. The Badgers are now 3-7 overall, 1-6 in the Big Ten. They lost to a ranked team for the fifth time this season. They have still not beaten a top 10 team on the road since 2019. They will next be in action at Camp Randall hosting Illinois. That's a Saturday night game coming up, last I saw. Badger men's basketball, they're hosting Southern Illinois University Edwardsville tonight in the final matchup of a four-game homestand to start the 2025-2026 season. The Badger women's basketball team defeated UW Green Bay on Sunday afternoon. Men's hockey split with Ohio State. Badger women's hockey swept St. Cloud State. And the Bucks, they lost Friday and Saturday. Today's history lesson and Dr. Kristen Lyerly all on the way. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.